time to welcome back the Visa Geezer, Hong Kong's very own Stephen Barnes. How are you?
Hello, Phil.
Welcome back. Okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
What's been going on?
Well, I was away for a couple of weeks. Very, very nice. First time in ages I've actually
Had a genuine break. Take some time off away?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, rather than sort of working 14 or 15 hours a day, I put in 2 or 3 hours a day and answer a few questions.
Here's the deal. Steve's been a guest on the programme for years. Every now and again he pops in. He's a real expert, just ask him, on Hong Kong visa stuff and the simple questions that really perplex you, Steve can fix. It's Morning Brew at rthk.hk or put something on our Facebook page. Every so often the immigration boys come out with something new. What's for 2014?
Ooh, well, it's actually right at the end of 2013, and it's not major sort of earth-shattering news, but the Immigration Department are now, for all practical purposes, for existing residents, temporary residents, other than foreign domestic helpers and those that are brought in under the Supplementary Labour Scheme, they are no longer granted, they no longer receive stamps in their passports when they enter Hong Kong. Well, conceptually, what you do when you exit Hong Kong, when you enter Hong Kong as an existing resident, conceptually, you present your passport, and the immigration officer will look to see what your immigration status is, and then will put a stamp in your passport that reflects what your current limit of stay is. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the introduction of the smart cards, most residents now don't even present their passports to an immigration officer.
Love those.
Exactly, in and out, zip foo, and what have you. But there still was the conceptual capability to have your passport stamped each time you entered and each time you exited.
Yeah.
Now, if you're an existing resident, when you do present your passport, if ever you do, then...
Sometimes you lose your ID card.
Yeah, correct. Exactly, that's right. Well, now what they do is, rather than stamp your passport, they put a label in your passport that states what your current limit of stay is instead. Now, as I said, because the vast majority of people enter and exit via their ID cards, it doesn't make any difference to them in a real practical sense, except for those people who are coming to Hong Kong for the first time as residents and don't yet have their identity cards, then they will receive a label in their passport that that reflects their current limit of stay rather than having a stamp. So that's about it. Now, this was actually introduced for visitors in March of last year.
For what reason?
Just because it makes it sort of easier for processing, and it's the next level of sophistication in the immigration department systems to chop passports and getting passports full of stamps. You just put on an aligned slip of paper that contains all that information.
Just makes me wonder, how paperless can we go on this issue? Because, you know, sometimes when you go to various countries, you fill in that, well, we think useless entry form and exit form. Imagine the rooms.
To a degree, I think there's always going to be a certain element of paper required, because there's usually got to be some kind of physical trail that's reflective of what's gone on in relation to someone's movements across the boundaries.
But put it very simply, what's the benefit of this one? You said it's only a small deal, but I'm sure there's some benefit of it. They're not going to look twice at you, or...?
It means that if you are in a situation whereby your passport fills up quickly with stamps, your passport's not going to fill up as quickly anymore.
Okay, all right.
That's what
then.
It boils down to. So there are efficiencies for the Immigration Department too, I'm sure, but for the regular Joe, it means you don't have to spend as much money on passports, especially if you're a regular comer and goer.
Well, I know this isn't your bag, but I think a lot of people from the UK are going through a right nightmare at the moment. Do you know anything about this?
Not much, but you're right.
It sounds horrendous.
I flew to the UK for a long weekend at the end of November, and I hadn't been back there for 9 years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I was astounded that, you know, I had to wait in a queue, and it took me about 25 minutes to clear border control, where once upon a time you just arrived at Heathrow and you walked towards an officer, you waved your passport at him, and away you went. But now they make you queue so they can stop and physically look at your passport to make sure that you're landable. I don't know what's going on. But they see the UK immigration authorities, especially the border agency, have gotten into a lot of hot water the last few years, not doing their job properly. And
stopping people for stupid reasons.
And just not doing their job properly, you know. I think just in the running to the Olympics, if I may be wrong, but in the running to the Olympics, they made a determination that they were so busy and they didn't have any resources, they just cleared people without even looking at the travel documents in many cases.
Sod's Law says something will happen when they do that.
So there's a huge political furor, and then there were changes, and last November I experienced them for myself and I wasn't impressed. And it just underscores just how bloody good the Hong Kong Immigration Department is, you know. Absolutely brilliant service.
I would like to bring up the subject of things they want from you. Again, you know, a lot of these things I'm going to chat to with Steve about, they come back time and time and time again. Financial projections and stuff like this. Just tell me what exactly is needed.
In your opinion, for resident,
you know, the paperwork you need. I certainly remember when I got my permanent ID card, piece of cake.
Ah, but you're a Brit, right? You're a landed Brit, and then you were able to...
I didn't have anything done for me. It just wasn't a drama.
Well, that's right.
It was very, very simple for you back in
1997, adjusting your status, right? Because you've been here forever.
No. I think it was 99, actually.
I'll give or take, yeah. Yeah, it was in the wake of that, in the wake of the handover.
But, you know, if people want to come here for business reasons or whatever, I think they often get sort of caught up in, you know, this paperwork, that paperwork, and it can be very, very frustrating. Take me down the financial projections avenue.
Okay, well, you're going to have to present financial projections in the context of two particular application types. Mm. You'll need to show financial projections if your employer is a relatively newly established business and is possibly sponsoring employment visa permissions for a foreign national for the very first time.
Right.
Because the Immigration Department need to be satisfied that the sponsor of an employment visa has to be a suitable and credible sponsor. And one of the conditions or one of the criteria that they use to judge suitability is, what do your numbers look like? That's both in terms of projections, in terms of what your historical performance, financial performance of the entity has been.
Right.
So that's in the context of an employment visa. On the other hand, if you're coming to Hong Kong to establish or join in a business, which means you're going to own the business for yourself or own part of the business at least, you need to make an application for an investment visa, a business investment visa. And at that point, the Immigration Department need to have financial projections and also see if there's been any trading history, exactly what the financial performance has been, again, for the same reason, to understand that, A, it's a suitable and credible business vehicle, but more importantly, in the context of those numbers, the applicant can pass the approvability test where he or she can show that they can make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong.
See, Steve, these financial projections are nothing more than that. Nobody has a crystal ball, and they're a work of fiction until they come true.
So it's
how good your financial projection skill is making them.
You could say that. Let's put it this way, though. You know, you've got to... The Immigration Department don't just look at financial projections in isolation.
Truly.
They look to see how much cash you've got in the bank account.
Well, that's more like it.
Right?
Why don't they just say that?
They look to see if you've got any work in progress. If you've got any financial history, they look to see what that looks like. And so they balance everything together and make a determination to see if they're credible or not. However, the reality is, the Immigration Department know that, as it were, no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy. So if you put forward a set of financial projections that are at least realistic and, you know, on the face of it achievable, then you end up 12 months later not having been able to meet those projections. Normally, the Immigration Department don't really hold you to too much account, but what they will do is ensure that your next extension is going to be subject to a closer examination
of
what's going
on.
Absolutely.
Does your intent come into this? I mean, do they generally look at you and say, this guy's really trying?
Absolutely.
And that's important.
And no, it's absolutely critical. And I do a lot of talks on investment visas, and during the talk I always say, if you're made of the right stuff to become an entrepreneur yourself, if you bring that sort of philosophy and that dynamism to your application in the same way as you've brought it to the business that you're planning to embark on,
you should be okay
because it's all about attitude, spirit and ability to take risks.
Now what you're bringing me towards now is really good, because it's the immigration guys having a bit of nous, if you like, a bit of, they're like, well, this looks good and the feeling is good, so what about the, you know, 7 years continuous? What about if you've nipped off for a year and then you say you've been here for 10 years. I have a feeling that they might just look and say, on aggregate, this guy seems like he's okay.
Well, the test for a right of abode, permanent residency, the thing that we're talking about now, is you need to have been continuously and ordinarily resident in Hong Kong.
Ordinarily, that's the key thing.
For a period of not less than 7 years. And any absences from Hong Kong in that time need to have been of a merely temporary nature, as evidenced by what you leave behind to return back to end of each temporary stay abroad.
Yeah.
So it's as long as you've got back-to-back residence visas in all of that time, as long as you can show that you've been settled in Hong Kong through all of that time, and that means, you know, location of your children, have they been with you or not, where's your wife, are they with you or not, have you had continuous tenancy agreements, or have you owned property throughout that time, so have you play Have you had a demonstrable place in Hong Kong where you can lay your head every night?
Yeah.
So all of these things together are taken and assessed by the Immigration Department in the context of their current practice and also some case law that exists to establish the notion of ordinary residence in the context of Hong Kong immigration.
Right.
And if they believe that you pass the test,
you're okay.
You're home and host.
Just curiosity here, Steve. Were there any complications that arose for people that, say, came here in 95 or 94 and their whole thing crossed the changeover of sovereignty?
It would depend on what nationality you were.
All right.
All the Brits that were residents at the time of the handover, who were no longer deemed privileged residents by virtue of their British citizenship,
yeah,
needed to go through the process of securing a particular immigration status that accorded with their rationale for being here. But, you know, you saw that happen. I saw that happen. That was just a rubber stamping exercise. It was simply bringing everybody into compliance. So if you're a Brit prior to the handover, effectively you were in and they gave you
the
status.
What about the Aussies?
Effectively, the Australians had conditions attached to their limit of stay. And their whatever their rationale was for their visa before the handback, and whatever the rationale was, as long as it continued after the handback, meant that they just continued to get the same status.
You must follow all the trends and what's going on, etc., etc. Is there a general feeling these days that we're getting way more, foreign nationals who've got permanent ID cards?
I don't have any firm numbers
feeling.
On that, because immigration don't put out. Well, people come and go, right? And that's a constant. There are people that have permanent residency that acquired it after, obviously, the 7 years, and they may have left. And as long as they come back on at least one occasion every 3 years, they maintain it. So we have lots and lots of permanent residents who don't actually live here anymore.
Yeah, what happens then?
Well, as long as if they've secured the right of abode...
They can't... Yeah, I suppose so.
You can lose it, strictly speaking, if you are absent from Hong Kong for more than 3 years continuously. And in those instances, you don't absolutely get kicked out, as it were. You get downgraded to the right to land, which still affords you 95% of all the privileges associated with the right of abode in any event. So
yeah,
you can still work and you can still do all that kind of good stuff.
Do they yank cards very frequently?
Well, it's not so much yanking it. Effectively, if you lose the right of abode, then you're no longer eligible for a permanent identity card.
Right.
So at the point of you having technically lost your right of abode and having been downgraded to the right to land, you should then relinquish your permanent identity card and get another identity card that reflects your right of right to land status.
Gotcha.
Thereafter.
I want to wrap up with another grey area. In fact, I'm reading on your website, your note just says, baby born in Hong Kong to a foreign national temporary resident, how to complete the dependent visa process. Piece of cake to you, but it's a real bane to some people.
Right. Okay, you basically get a live birth certificate. The hospital then effectively gives you a form that denotes that you can secure down at the Register of Births an immigration slip, if you will, that is presented along with the parent's passport information.
Right.
And if you're a temporary resident, whatever your immigration status is as the parent, then you're going to get a dependent visa effectively endorsed onto this slip of paper, issued at the same time as the birth certificate, that gives the baby the permit to land until effectively the immigration state, or it's actually for 12 months initially, but in principle what tends to happen is it's the same date of expiry as the immigration status of the parent. But that gives you enough time to
right.
go down to the immigration department and get a formal dependent visa endorsed in your passport, so then you can travel across the borders.
So purely on paper terms, if you are that person, does it make your situation a bit better if you have a child here?
No, none whatsoever.
Not me and you, of course.
Yeah.
But
no, that makes no difference at all.
Really?
It's just another head in our population.
Not the sort of, you know, when you land somewhere, if your kid's born, the child gets X, Y, and Z.
Not if you're temporary residents, because as a temporary resident, that child can only get the same immigration status as the parent has got.
Okay. Be interesting to sort of find out if the stuff we started off talking about today, the lack of stamps and this, that and the other, has any practical benefits whatsoever.
Well, it always allows you to be able to peer into your passport and know when your visa's going to expire.
Yeah, and you don't have to use your passport up so quickly.
That's true.
Perfect. Steve Barnes is the Hong Kong visa geezer. We'll talk in a few weeks. Thank you.